Sometimes it appears that there are two competing things that vie for our attention and our formation as Catholic Christians. We spend a lot of time and effort on learning about the content of our faith, and that is really important. And what I'm going to say next should not in any way minimize the importance of our formation in our intellectual understanding of our faith. After all, with our 2,000-year history, we've had some of the most brilliant thinkers in all of human history think and write and teach about what we believe as Catholics. My mind goes to people like St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine. These are incredible teachers of our faith. And we place a lot of emphasis on knowing what our faith is, knowing who Jesus is, knowing things about the Trinity and the hypostatic union, the nature of the church. All of these things are incredibly important. But they're not the only thing. In fact, what sets Jesus apart from all other religious leaders and spiritual gurus and so on and so forth is that ultimately what we believe in is not a philosophy or an idea, but a person. St. John says to believe in his name. It isn't just a name in its most basic sense of that word, a designator for what somebody could be called, but in the more classical sense of the word name. The name of somebody, in a more classical sense, is deeply connected with who that person is. And to know somebody's name is, in a sense, to have a sort of power over that person. Think about how many times when somebody has called your name, you instinctively turn your head to face that person, to listen to what they're saying. I remember one time I was at a parish and there was a member of the parish who shares the same first name that I have. And there, we were getting ready for some event, and in a tone of frustration, somebody called out to that person and used, of course, his first name as is fitting. And I sort of immediately bristled in that moment as I turned around thinking the person was angry at me about something and then realized they weren't even talking to me at all. Our names have a certain power over us. To believe in the name of Jesus means that we have a sort of power with him as a person, not just an idea. Ideas are great and knowledge is wonderful and learning about our faith is incredible. And living in our modern society, we have more means of being able to do that than ever before. Whether it's watching YouTube videos or listening to podcasts or reading articles online, we can learn more about our faith, and we can also learn more about erroneous understandings of our faith than we ever have before, and it's easier and less expensive than ever before in human history. In a sense, there's no excuse to not know what we believe as Catholics. You can learn pretty much anything you want to with a few clicks of a mouse. This became very apparent to me one time a few years ago when I was at a family member's house and the conversation about the not quite so well working toilet was the topic of the day. And I said, well, why don't we just replace it? Well, we have to call a plumber. No, we don't. We can go to Gilman's and buy a toilet, and we can watch a YouTube video and learn how to put it in. So, yes, I have installed a toilet, and I learned two things. One, you can watch great YouTube videos on how to put a toilet in. But more importantly, I also learned under no circumstances do I ever have a desire to be a plumber. But knowing about Jesus, as important as that is not knowing Jesus himself. There are many theologians, brilliant theologians, who end up teaching heresy, teaching things contrary to the faith, because they get stuck in a world of ideas and don't understand the person of Jesus. Our life as Catholics is to have the intellectual content of our faith, and perhaps in some respects, more importantly, to have a relationship with Christ, to believe in his name, to believe in him, not just what he teaches. In fact, that is the essence of what Jesus is saying in the gospel passage, that he is the vine and we are the branches, in a sense, grafted onto him. One of the spiritual masters wrote about this idea, this concept of having this relationship with Christ in a pretty interesting way. He said, think of it this way, that our relationship with Christ is desired by him because he wants to live in us. He wants to live in us. You see, each of us have a circle of influence in our lives. Each of us have our own unique circle of family and friends, coworkers and classmates. And within that circle, perhaps there's one or maybe even a few people that only we, only ourselves, can touch in a particular way. Perhaps nobody else is in that circle in the same way, or perhaps they won't listen to another person that they don't have a deep relationship with. Jesus wants to live in us so that he can be present in everyone's lives. That our call to have this relationship with Christ is about building up the kingdom. So how do we have this relationship? How does it go beyond mere intellectual constructs? I know that I run the risk of saying the same thing over and over again in homilies and sometimes just using different words. But I really believe that it's the essence of the matter. And that is through our own spiritual life, our own prayer life. The importance of our time spent in daily prayer cannot be overestimated. Of course, the sacraments form an essential component of this. Today, with great joy, we celebrate First Communion this afternoon, where our young people will be receiving our Lord in the Eucharist for the very first time. But we who have celebrated our first communions years or perhaps decades ago run the risk of the familiarity breeding a sort of casualness. That the great gift of the Eucharist is an encounter with the risen Christ in a very physical and real way. Albeit it's under sacramental signs, which necessitates faith on our part to believe that what Jesus said about the Eucharist is true. What Jesus says about himself is true. But it is this particular and unique encounter with Christ that draws us into a relationship with him. It's easy for our spiritual life to run dry and for our prayers to become somewhat empty. But it is through the gift of the Holy Spirit when we're in a state of sanctifying grace that can enliven and strengthen our spiritual life. That our hearts that can grow cold under sin can be re-enlivened by the grace of Christ and his mercy and love. We are not called simply to believe in a philosophy or a moral structure that Jesus taught, but we as Christians are called to believe in Jesus. Yes, we have to know who he is, and that's an intellectual understanding. But beyond that, we have to know him as a person, as a human, and as God. And that is nourished in our own prayer life and in our worthy and frequent reception of the sacraments. Soon, we'll be celebrating the great feast of Pentecost. Soon, novenas will begin. But let us always pray that the Holy Spirit can continue to enliven our hearts to know the person of Christ and to approach him in prayer and in the sacraments.